Good evening. Welcome to all of you this evening. It's wonderful to be here and to be back here and have this opportunity once again to bring God's Word. Turn with me this evening to Matthew chapter 7, and that will be our text this evening, Matthew chapter 7, to begin. And last week we talked about Gideon, and we talked about the altar that Gideon's father had built, and how God asked Gideon to cast down the altar to Baal and to build an altar instead to God. And this evening we're going to talk about, as I started to think about that between this last week and this week, I thought about what it is that we're building on. Really, what is it that we're building on? And that's what we're going to look at here this evening. The parable that we begin with, Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, this is a parable that Jesus gave of the builders of their houses. So let's look here, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that's Jesus speaking, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening for your word. And Lord, as we approach this this text this evening and the thoughts that you've given to me to share, Lord, help us all to learn from this lesson. Lord, may you be honored and glorified in the things that are said tonight. Help us to take this to heart and to live for you and to build on a solid foundation. Help us to understand this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to picture for a moment that you are building a house. And let's say that you have an opportunity to build your dream house, okay? And you're going to build that house on the beach. You have a chance to do that, okay? And so you go out and you find this wonderful plot of land and you purchase the land and you're going to start to build. And you see this perfect spot, a place that you think is just absolutely perfect. You can see the ocean at every angle. You can just picture this. You'll step out on your porch, and you'll just see the ocean. It'll be amazing. The problem is that to build it there, you have to build it on the sand. Now, everything seems to go well. The contractors seem to think it's going to work, and you can put it there. You start to start the process. You start putting the foundation in and start to work when building this house. And a neighbor comes up to you and says, sir or ma'am, you do realize that you are in the Florida Keys, and there's a season that we call hurricane season here, because it's typical that you'll have a hurricane come through. Every year we have these storms and chances are, if you build on the sand, that house isn't going to stand very long. Now, that's an important part of my analogy here, because look with me at verse 24. Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. The first part of that is hearing. If you're building that house and nobody comes to you and tells you that there is a hurricane season, you wouldn't know the difference. What difference is it? But now you've been put in a position where you know that building on the sand is a real risk, but it's a beautiful view. And it just would be so nice. So what do you do? I think if North Hills Bible Church has a theme verse, it's Romans 10:17. You probably could quote it with me, probably could. So try if you can remember Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It all begins with hearing. And I want to just pause on this, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but I think that this is a really important point, and for all of us here, I think this just, it matters. We need to be hearing Jesus. If we're going to begin to build, we had better listen to the master builder. And there are many different ways that we can do that, but I mean really hear. And we're here now in a church service, so we have someone at the pulpit, and there's pulpit ministry. You come in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you hear someone speak. Even Sunday school, you hear someone else speak about the Bible. That's one way to hear. Much more profound, much more powerful is when you decide that you have something you want to learn and you go search the scriptures. If you pick up this book yourself, it's so much richer to learn and to study yourself and find things in here for yourself. And that's really powerful what God can do. What you can hear Jesus say when you're studying the scriptures. But there's other places too. As a young family, we're struggling to figure this out, but I'd love to get into family Bible time. And we're working on ways to try to figure that out. But if you have ways that you can do that, sitting down with your family, that's a wonderful time that you can hear God, okay? In conversation, and I'll touch on this a little bit later, but just even with other believers, you can have conversations about spiritual things. Talk about what you're learning in your devotions. Talk about the questions that you have, the things you're interested in Scripture. And it just bless you to hear other people talk about their spiritual walk, and you can just encourage each other. It's a wonderful way to hear. And then there's one that it kind of bothers me because I'm not personally doing it, and I'm not seeing anybody do it. It's something I think, broadly speaking, the church today isn't really addressing, and that is the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're to be shodding our feet and preparing to share the gospel. That's a really important thing. And in a sense, by that preparation, see, the gospel is something that, yes, we're saved, but we can live it or we cannot live it. We can celebrate the fact that we're saved and we can go on living a victorious life in Christ, or we can be stagnant. And I think if we just put more emphasis on the gospel, sometimes I think we'd be in a better place ourselves. We'd really cherish it. And we really should be studying. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. The Bible says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That doesn't happen without the preparation of the gospel of peace. Is something, it's a process. So, that tangent aside, you're given these two foundations to build on, the sand or the rock. And when you're given something, you hear something that God has said, you hear something that God is speaking, you now have a choice, because you can either take that and act on it and build on a rock, or you can take that thing that you heard and ignore it and build on the sand. And we do this countless times in our lives. When we hear the word of God, we have this choice to make. So we're holding this option in front of us. I want to show you what the Bible has to say about the foundation, because it's important. We must know what the foundation is that we're supposed to build on, so that we know how to identify it and how to get to it and how to prepare it and how to build on it. We have to know that foundation. Psalms has a beautiful way of describing the foundation. Turn with me to Psalm 24. We're going to look at the beginning of the psalm, Psalm 24. Verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. This is a clear pointer to the creation. This is referring to the creation of the earth. Remember, the world was without, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And it's describing that moment as God founded the earth in creation. Okay, let's hold that thought. In 89, Psalm 89, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12 of Psalm number 89. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. So the Lord has founded the earth. And now, Psalm 104, the beginning of that psalm, Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Skip down now to verse 5, Psalm 104. Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. When God made the earth, see, the creation is the handiwork of God. And we learn from that. When we look closely at God's creation, we learn about God. It is his handiwork. And the earth, when the earth was created, it was created to show us what a foundation of eternity should look like. It's a picture of a foundation of eternity. And there's one more verse in Psalms that talks about foundations, and that's 119, Psalm 119, verse number 151. Psalm 119, verse number 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. This foundation that is the rock that Jesus is saying we should be building on is none other than the Word of God. Now notice something about this. Verse 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. I think that's incredibly profound. Notice that it doesn't say that all thy commandments are true. That's what we would expect. We would expect it to say all thy commandments are true. But instead it says all thy commandments are truth. What's the difference? Jordan Peterson is a secular philosopher, modern day philosopher. He's in the conservative movement and he's a clinical psychologist. Jordan Peterson is not yet a believer. I say yet because he's on a trajectory in that direction. He has studied the mind. And as a student of the mind, he has delved so deep. He's a very intellectual person. He's intellectual to the point he'll put a sentence together that uses so many big words it makes you wonder if you even understood what he said. He's that kind of intellectual. But he has studied the mind in such depth that he's come to a place where he's almost seen the very fingerprint of God on the human psyche. He knows that he cannot say God does not exist. He will not say because he fears God. Jordan Peterson fears God. and he's not a believer. But over time, he started a trajectory toward the truth. And what happened was he started a few years ago looking at Genesis as a secular academic. He started looking at Genesis. Now, as an unbeliever, he had some odd things to say about Genesis. But what he would do is he would get in a lecture hall where I think he thinks clearer when there's a lot of people listening to him, which is a little bit of an odd personality quirk of this man. But he'll get up in front of an audience of people and he'll just have these lectures. And so he started in Genesis and he would go through verse by verse, almost like you and I would in studying the Bible, but from a very different lens. And he would look at it and study it out, comparing the things that God had to say in Genesis with the human mind. Since that experiment of his, he has been moving closer and closer to a realization that Jesus is really God. Last year, I think it was even late last year, November, December of 2020, or sorry, this is already 2022, of 2021, he, on a podcast, almost came to tears, describing how he was describing Jesus Christ, the person Jesus Christ, the importance of the person Jesus Christ. And he almost came to tears talking about his not understanding his own belief. He's not quite there. He hasn't professed Christ, but he is this close. This week, and this is why I talk about it, it fits my sermon, but also it's very, very recent. This past week, he said on a podcast that he toured the Bible Museum in D.C. just recently, within the past week here. And he toured this Bible exhibit, this Bible museum, and he was talking about how profound it was. He made a discovery, he says. It was so profound, he said, this was the very first book. Not just before the Bible, it was scrolls, it was fragments, but this was the very first book. And he talks about how every piece of literature in all of humanity, in some way, is built on, comes from, varies, or is compared against the Bible. In some way, everything that humankind has done touches the Bible. This is the foundation, he says, of all literature. This is a secular man who's just observing through intellect what you and I knew through faith. And when I pray for the man, because I think that he's close and I think he could, if he studies the New Testament, I think he will come to a place where he recognizes his need of a Savior. But he has some hurdles to jump to get there. So we should really all pray for him. But in his point, one of the things he said was that the Bible is more than true. Because as a foundation for all literary work, the Bible is truth. And here we have Psalm 119, 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Truth's existence is held in these very words. When we talk about an eternal foundation to build on, there is nothing more solid than the Word of God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 6. This is Paul speaking. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now remember, John 1 talks about how in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So to say that the foundation is the Word is correct. To say that the foundation is Jesus Christ is also correct. Because Jesus Christ is the Word. And I believe Jesus Christ is the person, and this book is the text. And we have different manifestations of the same God. But here we have Jesus as the foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, and that is Jesus Christ. Remember in Matthew chapter 16, I know I'm having you turn many places, it's okay. You can maybe stay awake that way. I don't know. Matthew chapter 16. And verse 18. We'll start with verse 17 and get the context. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, or pebble. Thou art a pebble. And upon this rock, referring to himself, Jesus Christ, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And maybe we get to a place where we say, okay, it's time. I'm going to cast down the altar that I had built to sin. I'm going to cast down the altar. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to begin to build. Well, you better build on the right foundation. And we have got to have that solid, eternal foundation. There's only one. Jesus Christ. And his word is him. And so if we want to know the truth, we go here. Because knowing the truth shall set us free. I've been on a bit of a journey, I guess you could say, the past 5 or 6 months. We've been visiting different churches, exploring different theological questions, trying to get to what it is that God wants believers to do, what he wants, how he wants us to live, what he wants the church to do, how the church should function. These are big questions. But as I've visited around, it didn't take me all that long, just a couple of months, I think, of visiting some different places to come to an interesting realization. The biggest difference between each body of believers comes down to how much they love Jesus Christ. We've been to some places where you could walk in the door and everybody comes in the door and they'll start to talk to each other. And they'll say, how was your day? Oh, my day was great. I had this. They'll say, what did you do this weekend? Oh, I did this thing. They'll start talking about their cars. They'll talk about their hobbies. And then everybody gets into the sanctuary to sit down, and service time turns on. They sing their songs. They pray. Everyone's sincere. The pastor gets up and preaches a sermon. They sing their song, they close. And then when everyone stands back up, it turns off. They go back to their conversations about what they're going to do the next day, what their week looks like, how things are going. And not one word about Jesus. Not one word about their devotions. Not one word about what they're learning in their spiritual walk. We've been to other places. You walk in the door, and the atmosphere is just vibrant. And people are talking, and they're welcoming you, and they're just friendly. But it's more than that. It's to where two people can disagree vehemently with each other in a loving way. Because they love the same Jesus. And it doesn't matter that they have some disagreement. And it doesn't matter that they have some struggles because they serve the same God. They look at the same Bible. But when you don't have that, just a little difference can sometimes put people over the edge. You hear about these church splits over carpet color? And it happens. So then why are we here? We're walking in the door just to have some socialization? Something interesting in my study of this, I came across another instance that Jesus gave a very similar parable to building the house on the sand or on the rock at a different time, and it's Luke chapter 6. He gives it a different time, he gives it in a different way. And there are some differences in his parable in Luke chapter 6 at the end of the chapter that are very fascinating. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 47. Starting in verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Very similar parable. Some of the same pictures, but a few things are different. And I think these are really valuable things to pick up. First of all, notice that in both parables, the issue is whether or not you do what you hear God say. In both cases, verse 46, verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, that's step one as we talked about, and doeth them, I will show you who he is like. There's an action involved here, the act of believing. We could talk about, we'll go there in a minute, but James talks about the faith. Actually, let's go there now. We'll come back here. You can hold a finger here. We'll come back. We're going to look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2, 17 to 20. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So you are building your dream home, and you're building it on the beach. And the neighbor says to you, there's a hurricane season every year. It's not going to stand. You can believe them and not do anything about it. And go ahead and build your dream home just to see it collapse. I would venture to say that a lot of us do that in our spiritual lives on a regular basis. We hear, we know, this is what's correct, this is what's right, this is what Jesus wants, this is what the Bible says is right. But if we don't act on it, where is our faith? Jesus says, if I've given you these sayings, and if you don't act on these things, if you just hear them and you just let them go, let's go back now to the parable, Luke 6. And he says, verse 48, he is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Look at verse 49. He that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth. In this parable, there's a layer of earth, of dirt, above the rock. Oh my goodness, there's so much to talk about there. There's so much you could expand on that. We are privileged to have a lot less dirt to dig through to get to the rock. A lot of people don't have it. You and I, we were raised or now are under good, solid instruction. Most of us, our whole lives, have had good, solid teaching from the Bible, where the pastor gets up and he reads out of the Bible, and he talks about it, but he brings you back to the Bible. And the truth is being taught, and true doctrine is being taught. But you realize how many people, even in churches, even in the denominational churches, all across America, all around the world, people in other religions, atheists who have walked away from the faith and become completely objective to God, all of these people have a lot of dirt between them and Jesus Christ. There's a lot of ground there. And for some of those people, it's really hard to dig through all of that. And sometimes they need some help. Sometimes they need someone like you or I to come along and start to talk to them about those issues. Help them get through those hurdles, those challenges, those struggles in their mind. Catholics have all this tradition to dig through. And Muslims have all of this religious teaching to dig through. Mormons have all of these lies to dig through. There's a lot of people to get to that rock of Jesus Christ is a really hard thing. It takes a lot of work. For us who have him, we should just treasure him all the more. Shouldn't we just rejoice? There's a pastor that I know, I love. He gets up every service that he gets up. First thing he says is, it's a great day to be saved, isn't it? Amen. That's what he does every service. And there's something there. There's a joy there. You know, we have the foundation, the timeless, eternal foundation, the Word of God, the Bible, Jesus Christ. In closing, let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. the first parable that we looked at. Matthew chapter 7, we come to the end of the parable, verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 28, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. You realize the scribes and the scholars today, many of them want to tell us that, we just can't be too sure about this book. That's what they're doing. They talk about, there's all these different points of view on this passage. So here are the three different views you can take on this passage. And they'll present the three different views, and they'll say, you just have to decide which one sounds best to you. And sometimes they'll use language almost like that. It's just very, there's no way to really know what this passage means, but here's some things different scholars. I imagine the scribes of Jesus' day were doing the same thing, because these people were astonished that he could stand and say, no, this is true. We need to be careful that we're not looking at the Bible as just an academic book. This is so much more than that. It is truth. It is a final authority. And so when we go prepare to build something in our lives, we go to prepare to build a relationship. We prepare to build a business. We prepare to build an income, our finances. When we go to build our entertainment, our lifestyle, build our family, whatever we're going and building, we had better be sure that we have a solid foundation. And there's only one foundation. As Paul says, there's no other foundation for the church than Christ. And the difference is phenomenal. Because when the rains of difficulty come, when the rains of inflation come, when the rains of temptation come, when the winds of false doctrine come, when the floods of overwhelming circumstances and health issues come, it's going to matter what you're building your life on. What are we building our lives on? I'm going to ask you to stand as we pray, because we need to learn to stand on the Word. We're going to stand together and pray. Reflect in your heart about your life. What are you building? The things that you're building in your life, are they built on the Word, or are they built on the sand, the shifting sand? Father, thank you so much for giving us your Son down here on this earth to live a perfect life, to give us these most powerful words, to die on the cross, to save us, to carry our burden. To rise victorious over death and the grave. Oh Lord, you are the master builder. We, your feeble servants, help us to build in the right place, to dig down if we need to get to you. May you be the center of our lives, Lord. May you be our focus. May you get all the glory for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.